language, or you can have your own language on this. Whatever. Sorry.
I like having my phone.
You like having your final language? I noticed as I was rereading that I said crappy. We said crappy somewhere, and I went like, oh, that's good. That's good. That's a good word. Crappy days.
There's a phone in the middle.
Okay.
That way you're not.
So while you're munching and chomping, I don't even know if your partner in crime is here, your person
yes.
that you
I don't have one.
Yeah, but
yes.
We'll get you one.
Okay.
Chris is mine, but he's not.
Oh, Chris.
Shoot.
So you may need to let me be with Chris. Slackers.
I need someone who's more on the ball than I am to keep me accountable.
Right.
So they may be accountable to them. So,
about Sarah? Because she's like on the ball.
Work.
I'm on it. Crack that whip.
And let me ask you this. How did it go this week? How did your stuff go? Yes? Moderately good?
Yeah. In terms of just making yourself do it.
Yes.
Yeah. Shut up at the end of the week.
Right.
Yeah.
We start off the week gangbusters, and it's like,
and then you trailed off. Yeah, which is kind of typical whenever we want to start a new habit. And Sarah, just in case you...
No, I listened, and it was very helpful, and you guys were exactly right. If you do not have a partner, you don't do it.
Absolutely.
And I set my alarms, but I mean, I literally like...
Yes.
I set my alarms, and I was like, oh yeah, I got to do that. And then I'm like, I'll do it in just a second. And I would lose it. And then the next morning, I'm like, ah! You know, so I did it twice.
The email, that resource online helped me. Did that email type it on.
Yes.
Awesome. Did that
I would.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it sent your email?
Yes.
Yeah, the only thing would be better, I mean,
yeah.
A little more work on your part, right? But
sure.
Be able to go to number two to the next one and then have it lay
all
it all
there.
Out. You know, there, you're done. Because right now, I think if I'm
going
to look at this, I'm
going
to have to go to each one of my emails
to see where
I felt that number.
Okay.
I started numbering mine.
Yeah.
Number two, Alan. Email, blah, blah, blah.
Okay,
I think
so
y'all
have a number for
y'all
the
could eventually move to
we're gonna do it all on we decided we wanted to know are we gonna put it on the iPad or not.
The whole workbook.
And Josh does all the InDesign stuff. He does layouts and everything.
I mean, it's just a PDF. You can put it on your iPad too. I can send it to you to put it on the iPad if you want it.
The only thing we didn't do was because some people still like to write in a workbook. They still like to have a physical copy. And he said, well, eventually we'll have it once, you know, you guys are giving us feedback how to improve it. And when we do our final rollout, we'll probably, I don't know, we'll have two versions. That's your bailiwick.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
We just want it to be the most
value. If the goal is to keep an accurate log because after taking the test, the PQ test is more like evaluate constantly, you know, get a metric for.
Right.
Then the more you do it,
right.
So if it's easier, the easier it is to do it, the more it's going to be.
Sure.
Which is more accurate.
And we want to make it as easy as possible for you.
That's true. That's good. Everything we do to make it easier is
so,
good feedback.
Yeah, this week is not necessarily something we want you to turn into a habit, per se. You know, like, well, we don't want you to do this every day, check your NPS scale, I'm going to get here. It was more, like, to get into the habit of noticing it, too,
mm-hmm.
in the first place. And so, hopefully it triggered throughout the day, kind of you being a little bit more aware of, hey, man, I'm going down this train of thought that's it's a little bit negative here, or, hey, I'm feeling really great, you know, I'm really excited, I'm really, you know, positive.
I kept thinking, once I get done with this task, I'll feel great, I'm going to do it then.
Oh!
So, how did you get that task out of the way? Well, that's
going to
be awesome.
Well, that's funny, so you primed yourself.
But then I would not get that task done because I get 7 emails, 4 phone calls, 3 more tasks.
We'll talk about that in the focus section.
We're really going to talk about it in the focus section.
Yeah.
I only get a t-shirt that says recalculating.
Recalculating.
I said that several times last week.
Interesting.
Oh, cool.
So was that kind of helpful for...
Yeah, because it made me laugh. And then
yeah.
I
love that.
I don't even think Mike knew I was here. I was in there and I heard him go, recalculating, root!
I love that.
Three times I was loud about it. I was
awesome.
Pretty mad.
That's.
Do you have a sense for like what showed up the most? Those of you who did it regularly, like, did it, you know, were you mostly positive? Was it mostly the certain thoughts that came up more regularly, or anybody want to share that or notice that?
I didn't really write it down because no accountability. But the times that I just sort of sat and did it in my head, We're pretty relaxed last week.
Okay.
I mean, the I didn't do it Monday or Tuesday because I was Monday was shoot no.
Well, it was fresh off the meeting.
Yeah, I had a lot of filming I was doing last week, so I just didn't. I was preoccupied doing that. So,
yeah. So a lot of these things that we're going to show you are things that we want to make them as quick as possible for you to be able to do them. So if it's a long drawn out process, we know you're not going to do it because we won't do it if it's a long drawn out process. It's sneak human nature. So if you can think through, as we're showing you these different processes, ways to make them faster for you or ways that you can implement them and take away the barriers for you to be able to do them, that's partly why we suggested an alarm on your phone, because you're not going to, you know, we know that you're not just going to randomly think, oh, I have to do this today. So it's like you got to have it programmed and scheduled in some of these things that you want to do. And we'll talk later about we'll get to the ritual section about how to create instant habits and instant rituals. For the things that you want to do, and there's some research, really cool research on that. But we just wanted you to do this as an exercise to kind of check everything out. So.
Can you teach me to hypnotize myself so I can actually do these things?
That's out of my realm of expertise.
Yes,
my dad can
hypnotize
myself.
I do self-hypnosis and hypnosis and all that, yes. We have so many tools, guys. It's like, oh, do I share that now? Oh, no, we don't have time for that. So
self-hypnosis?
Yes.
It's possible.
All it is just programming, you know, visualizing your mind. It's really, hypnosis is really putting yourself into a trance, and there's different ways to
you're in the alpha waves when you're doing that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Side note.
Yes.
Very good. One of the gymnasts on the team, he messaged my wife about it, like, going into nationals, blah, 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 all pumped up, and they had a bad knee. And so she's coming to Karen about mental advice, and she's whole two paragraphs about mental programming, I'm like, darling, you got 2 weeks left in your season. You're a little bit late on that.
Right.
But I was like, I mean, what do you say to him as somebody, you know,
that wants to work on that at that point?
Just Josh and need his number. I hope you have to be here next year.
Exactly.
There's some quick tools that we can show them that work really quickly too, that they wouldn't know to do.
Yeah, I may
get Karen to call Josh or me.
Yeah, I will.
There's, in fact, some of the ones we're going to show you later, they've been used with sports teams specifically. And the St. Louis Cardinals, one of the EFT, the tapping, their entire team used that the year that they went from having a losing record to winning the World Series, and they attribute, like every single player was going to this one sports psychologist who was doing it with them, and they attribute that as a major reason for their success in the tournament.
They did, yeah. They've been dominant. They've really been dominant ever since, too.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
We're going to share that. That's such a cool tool.
That's the tapping, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll share that later and some other specific ways you can use it, too.
By the way, Dusty is an EFT expert.
Is she
that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, where's Dusty? God.
I guess her kids spring break.
Oh.
She can work when
she's. I didn't know she knew about EFT.
She's a high level.
Okay, cool.
Very good. Very
y'all enjoy talking.
Awesome.
We'll explain what EFT is, emotional freedom technique. That's going to be the last of the sixth session, and then the two webinars are application of that online, so you have it to know how to do it.
As a resource.
Sweet.
But I didn't hear from Cynthia and Deanne.
No, I was hoping to hear somebody else say something that I found a difference between the work Cynthia and the personal Cynthia this week.
Okay.
Slapping right in the face.
All right, so you want to share?
Well, no, what I found out was in these things, of course, I was evaluated on the work level, but when I started looking at it on the personal level, I thought, you know what, it's different. And there are tools that I learned, I guess, from y'all before that I've been using for both of those. But we had our 50th year class reunion this week, and so I ran into some real trauma on the personal level of fear of going into it and stuff. But so it was like, well, I'll be darned, why am I not afraid here at work and yet I'm freaked out here?
Yes.
And so it was really good for me to look at both of those. And I was hoping somebody else would say, hey, man, there's two big differences in me. I think my birthday's in July. I think I'm a split anyway. So I think I really fit right in that one. But still, you know.
So you're feeling.
I need to work more on my personal than I do on the business. It doesn't seem to. I don't go with the ups and down like I used to with that. But still, on a personal level, it's still going up and down like a yo yo.
Okay.
Well, Mike.
No. My question was going to be, would you think I'd be more in higher-powered business people? That, we're all fairly successful business people. Mm-hmm. First, we got the business thing lit. The personal, I'm with you. I'm like, yes. Business-wise, I'm overworked.
Don't you think business is a process? I mean, you know your process so well, but when you have feelings and emotions from family and friends, I mean, that's all personal. That, I think, can affect you a lot more.
Yeah,
definitely happens in business, too, sometimes, too. That's
well, it can happen, but you're a little bit more
for
control
sure.
on
sure.
how you can go back to your process and feel comfort in that.
As an extreme example, my stepmom is very, 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 very high-level executive at Chick-fil-A. She's on the executive board. There's only five people on the executive board, and she's the first. She's their general counsel. She is amazing professionally. If she took this, I was thinking the same thing when I was taking the test, is that, or when you were saying that, is that if she took it professionally, she'd score in the 90s. Personally, she is an absolute disaster who could drop dead of a heart attack any day of the week. I bet she'd score a 10 on the personal level. So I think that that's a trap that we can all fall in.
And a lot of it's just all programming, right? It's all just mental programming. So in some areas of their life, people have enormous confidence, for example. And in other areas, you put them in that situation, and their programming is different around that. Maybe it's because it's new to them, or because they've got some stuff that's blocking them, that's kind of sabotaging them. Some
could also
be
like childhood trauma.
Childhood trauma could be a case, yeah. And I think this was the one we talked about, how the brain doesn't really forget. The brain doesn't forget earlier things that happen to you, per se. It brings it, and sometimes the associations between the past event and the present event seem really weird to us. Like, why am I feeling this way? Because that number one, it was really in the past, and it doesn't seem connected. But the brain often finds the strange connections to those past events and brings up the same type of emotional responses in the now, in the present. So if you don't find a way to switch that programming, it's going to keep coming up and up and up over and over again. And that's one of the things that EFT, this tool that we'll show you later on, really quick about zapping that programming, about switching it to something more positive. But there's other stuff we'll show you today, too, that's good for that.
But, Cynthia, I'm really glad you shared that, because I think for a lot of us, it's the personal stuff. And it sometimes bleeds over into the business. It's the personal stuff for me that affects me the most. The old stuff I learned from my family of origin, you know. And so I would be freaked out going to my 50th reunion also. Is this high school?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
we had a
grand
time once I got over my trauma.
Right. Right.
Was the trauma just of being, it's been 50 years?
I have this little thing that I say, and y'all probably think I'm nuts, but I just have to say, let go, let God, let
yes.
go, let God.
Sure.
You know, oh, what if I can't talk to you? You know,
yes.
There's a whole list of little scenarios that I went through and on my way over there, and I thought, get over it. My
right.
Lord, you know, and then I thought I couldn't do it. So that's when I did the
yeah.
let go, let God until I finally
relaxed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then once I relax, I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
just like, good Lord.
It's
a, well, it's so ridiculous
yeah.
having to go through that, you know?
Yeah.
They're just
let
friends.
Go.
Yeah. So that's a great segue into what we're talking about this lesson. We're talking about stress, the stress response, and, I'm going to hold off on asking that question because I'm going to do it right before I teach you about PACE. But I brought my brain.
This time I brought my brain.
We're just going to kind of reviewed, and we, by the way, we got your survey questions. The five people have responded, and we are going to, it's fine. We're going to review some of the issues that you said you had while we do this lesson, because it's like an overlay. Like some of you said, pivoting, I don't get pivoting, and that was just a one quick tool Josh shared, and then we noticed a lot of people said, well, heck, I kind of missed that. What the heck is that? You know, sure. And the EE loop was something which we're going all over again today. But this whole lesson is on how our brains hijack our success, okay? Because it's about the stress that we're feeling. And the sad thing is that we've gotten used to a certain amount of stress. I mean, it's like we have an at-home feeling about stress, and we generally kind of stay there. And we don't sometimes realize how very stressed we are. And we always, we kind of go back to that default feeling of stress, and we think, okay, that's normal. And then if you go, I've been to parties and social events where people actually kind of brag about how much stress they're on. At one time, it was a place where somebody says, well, my commute into Atlanta is this long, and I get up at 5 in the morning, and I'm back at this time. And you know, everybody in the group was kind of like trying to top that. And I'm standing there going, wow, well, this is crazy. Crazy. It's crazy crap. Because I was going, what? We've gotten to the point where we're bragging about how much stress we're under because we think that that's normal.
And that's productive.
And that we're under stress, we're more productive. The opposite is true. Mm-hmm. The more stress that we're under, the less productive we are.
It's like bragging how much poison you drank yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Well, it's kind
you
of...
Don't do that.
Yeah, but you know, when you hear everybody else around you talking about that, and then you make a conscious decision, I'm going to relax today. And I've been reading about this, because this is my journey. You know, guys, we're on this journey, right? We're just a few... Well, a couple steps ahead, you know, maybe not even in some areas, not that much ahead of you. I have a very strong driver that I need to be working all the time. I mean, it's like something that I got from way back when. And so it's very hard for me to stop and relax. And so I was reading, I was thinking, man, I feel so bad. I just can't focus. I'm so exhausted. So I was reading a book I have, and it was saying deep relaxation is what we need, not so much rest. Deep relaxation, so that all the muscle fibers of your body and all your nerves get the message from your brain of letting go. That's what's restful. And that's a place that a lot of us don't know how to get to, including one. I have some things that I do that kind of help me get there, but it's still, sometimes I just feel really like crap before I go, oh, wait a minute. I need to do something to stop this. Because my at-home feeling of stress is I carry a lot of it. It's a lot less than it used to be, but it's more than I want it to be. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So so just, I'll ask you this question now. Yay, Scott.
Oh.
Hey.
Hello.
Why don't you take this chair and put it right over there, buddy?
Okay. I'll put it way down here.
Bye.
Glad you made it.
Yeah, well, I was fortunate. My appointment canceled, so.
Oh, cool. So think about over your typical week, your average typical week. And if I ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, remember in the notebook I said 1 is you just got out of a hot tub on a vacation without children, and you maybe you've got your beer in your hand or something, whatever, and you're like, Mike's like, oh,
that's
wonderful. 10 is like the max stress. Think about a number that you would give for your average typical week. Come up with a number in your head. Just a number. Write it down.
Put it in your notes section if you want.
Put it on your notes section, put it there. Because this turns out to be a really important number. And I'm going to use that number again and ask you about that before we do something that's really different and new. Mike and Scott know about this. Scott, Cynthia, did we do any pace and up? But, all right. So just as a curiosity, is your number 5 and below? Okay. So is your number 6 and above?
Mine used to be 6 and above.
Right.
Working in an office space.
Yeah.
And now that I'm working from home, it's totally flip-flop.
So is your number 6 and above? Raise your hand if your number is 6 and above.
Maybe I need to start working home.
Okay, is your number over 10?
It changed.
Good thing
my life.
You just signed that lease.
Well, wait. Some people didn't raise their hand.
I'm kind of lost on what the number is.
Okay.
Sorry.
Is
sorry,
the
Scott.
Least stress. 10 is
where
the
we
least.
Are now?
Yes.
Really,
your
average
during the week.
The average of your week. You know, do you hang out around a 5, you hang around a 6, meaning you're kind of more on the stress level, are you 7 or are you an 8?
I'm about a 7.
You're about a 7. Okay, write that number down. 2. Deanne?
Oh, 7.
7, okay. So I just kind of get that ballpark figure where you are. Cynthia?
Yeah, I was could make up my mind between a 5 and a 7. So.
5 and a 7. Okay, but yours is pretty low.
So 4.
4.
Yeah.
Matt?
5.5.
5.5.
Okay. I just said I couldn't decide between 5 and 6.
Mike?
Okay. 7.
Right. So when we're talking about 7, 7, 8, that's a fair amount of stress you're carrying. Okay? And so what we want to do is bring that number down. And this training is going to help you learn how to bring that number down. So this is the brain. And you saw a picture in your book. And I like to bring this in because sometimes, if you're like me, you love kinesthetics. You like to feel and touch and things. You're totally welcome to touch my brain. Obviously not mine. But I just explained to you that the cortex, which is the last thing to develop in your brain when you're in utero, is this very thick band, okay? And it is connected to the other hemisphere by a little band of tissue called the corpus callosum. In women, it's supposed to be a little bit wider. We don't exactly know why. Women have an easier access going back and forth between hemispheres. And later on, I will, if we have time, I will do everybody's learning profile. It's your brain organizational profile. It probably won't be today, but it was how you were wired at birth in utero. Before birth in utero. And you have a dominance profile that either helps you or sometimes doesn't help you. And it's really cool to find this out because then you know, oh, that's why I'm getting so stressed out right now. That's why I can't talk right now under stress. But for now, just to look at the brain and to kind of realize that the part right here is what we call the brainstem, the reptilian brain. It's the first thing to develop in the child. The very first part to develop. This part controls your autonomic body, pulse respiration. You got to have that. If you get injured to this part of your brain, you're fresh out of luck, right? And then tucked underneath that is what we call the emotional brain, the limbic brain. This is the elephant. This part is your elephant. That's where you store all your memories and you store all your emotions, and that's what you're trying to guide with your rider up here, your cortex. Remember? Mm-hmm. Your elephant is like, it's going to direct your elephant, but if you don't feel a certain way, this part's going to win out. And this is where your fight or flight gets triggered. Like you see something and all of a sudden, boom, all of a sudden you're in the fight or flight reaction. So it's very, very strong, and it happens to us all the time. And sadly, where we can have things triggered during our day-to-day events and our fight-or-flight syndrome or reaction gets triggered and we think that's normal. For small things, things that now we could step back and go, oh, that's no big thing. But probably your fight-or-flight was triggered by the thought of going to your 50-year reunion and you were here. And so what happens is, you know what happens. Your heartbeat goes up, your heart races, your perspiration, your hands may sweat, your pulse goes up, the feel-good and the smart chemicals flood away from your brain, blood flows to your extremities, getting you ready to either fight or run away. It's not a good place to be, but it's a place that sometimes gets triggered by just small things in our daily life that we're not aware of. Anything you want to add to that?
That's good.
Okay, we talk about the amygdala, and the amygdala in the brain is the part of the brain that's like the smoke alarm system. When your amygdala gets triggered, and it could be triggered by seeing, say you have broke up with your girlfriend, you're going to the high school dance, high school reunion. Say you had a boyfriend or something, and he drove a light blue, what's a car back then? A light blue
T-bird convertible.
And for the longest time, after he dumped you, every time you would see that same color of car, you would find the same reaction happening. It would be like, oh, shoot, you know, or some other word. And so now, when you think of going back, sometimes that old pattern that's been laid down there 50 years ago gets triggered. Even it's there. That stuff just never leaves you. So anything else before you go into the next?
No, the amygdala is really important to understand because, for example, people who have high levels of anxiety, they have what's called an overreactive amygdala. So your amygdala, which is what starts that whole fight or flight response, that gets triggered regularly and often at the slightest, they can see an expression in someone's face that looks like disapproval or like, you know, like they're upset, and their amygdala gets triggered. That whole fight or flight response gets, you know, coursing throughout their body. That's really what people who have generalized anxiety have, is just that their brain is programmed to react that way. And so you have to do things that reset that programming, that tell the brain it's, and later on, we're going to show you different processes for that, but later on, it's called counter-conditioning it, right? The brain's conditioned to react with really strong negative emotion in those certain situations. And in order to get out of that, you have to recondition your brain. And so we'll show you some quick ways to do that later on. Probably not as much today, but in the...
Would a panic session. Attack be like a loop of that?
Yes.
Like where you're just... Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, it's a loop, and it gets triggered, and...
Yeah. And with all the physical symptoms are heightened even more than a panic attack, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Josh, I think you are up next, and I'm just drawing this for you.
All right, so... Remember back to the kind of the EE loop thing that we explained, the emotion experience loop that we talked about? This is kind of how it works. So the stress response, even though it seems like sometimes it just gets triggered out of the blue, it's really because there's some mental program that gets reactivated. There's thoughts that are going on there that activate the stress response. So, let me see that marker. So when you're having, the case in most of the day, though, is that the way this loop is fed is from the things that we're observing and thinking about. So we're thinking about the situation. We have these recurring thoughts that are maybe negative. And these negative thoughts, right, this is the emotions. These negative thoughts interact via the brain. This is the stress response is what kind of triggers all that stuff. Or the limbic brain, right? It gets triggered. And, you know, you then it kind of filters into the experience that you're having because you notice you're not as sharp as normal. Or like we talked about before, you get really frustrated that you can't figure out the solution, your stress response is active, and it's right there in front of you. You know, during the stress response, your focus is narrowed. You can't see all the different possibilities and ways of doing something because your frontal lobes of your brain are turned off, right? Those are the parts that help you get through your day. Those are the parts that give you your creativity and your great ideas. So that's how it interacts with your brain, is through the stress response and through these negative emotional reactions. And where you actually create more experience of stress, you know, so you do things that kind of feed that loop, right? And then you go back. So in order to break this loop, we have to do something very simple. Very often is just deep breathing. I mean, we're going to talk about some different
the body.
You know, the body. You can break the loop with the body. You can break the loop with your mind. Different ways to do that. You can. The best way to do it is just not get into the loop in the first place.
Recalculate.
Right. Recalculating. We're going to talk about pivoting in a second. So the really key point of all this is that any feelings that you're having about anything are not because of the thing, but it's because of the thought about the thing. Does that make sense? Because if you're mental programming about the thing.
The story you tell.
The story you're telling.
The
in your
story
brain.
You're telling.
So, you want to review that in the context of, let's talk about pivoting.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we noticed from some of your responses that this concept of pivoting was a little, like, you wanted more application, some more ideas about that, and we definitely didn't do it justice last time. So, pivoting is basically just learning how to quickly tell a new story. And the short version of that is when you... catch yourself going down. It's really best to use it when you catch yourself going down a negative train of thought early, in the early stages. Not when you have a full-on panic attack or anything like that.
Or full-on anger, rage.
Right.
Like,
right.
You're gonna,
yeah.
You know, take this person out.
At that point, it's
hard.
It's not going to work, right?
Tilt's been done.
Yeah. It's in the earlier stages, right? So I'll give you an example of kind of how this plays out. Do you want to tell your story? Am I going to tell my story?
Yeah, I'll tell my story.
Okay.
So we go away to this wonderful conference in California. It's about a guy who teaches experts how to tell their story and build their business. And I get there, and you know, I'm 64, and so sometimes I have the story that comes up for me that, like, oh God, I found this stuff too late. It's like, oh, I'm so much older than everybody here. And so I get there, and I notice, well, there's some other people here, but a lot of younger people, a lot of people in their 30s and 40s. And, And so the first day was kind of okay, but I noticed I was kind of starting to tell that story like I'm too old. I'm too old to get this, or just like, what am I doing starting a business and I'm 64, even though I started it when I was earlier. But I noticed that, and I said, okay, wait a minute. You know, one of the things that people like the most about you is your wisdom and your ability to see things that others may not have seen because I've lived life. And I started saying, wait, you know, scratch that, because that's not helping you go out and want to meet people. So I just kind of did that little mental thing on me, like recalculating, and said, and that was in the morning, and well, the next day was entirely different for me because I felt, first of all, I was more rested, but I felt like, wow, I've got so much to offer people because I have so much life experience. I've done a lot of things. I've been down a lot of rabbit holes, so I know how to help somebody get out of rabbit holes. Really good at that. You know, I've struggled with some of the same things that I know people need help with. So that was just a quick pivoting. It was like, it used to take me longer to get there. Now I'm getting better and better, because I told you we're on the same journey. I'm getting better and better at recognizing it and then making that change. Because it's like, I know it just doesn't feel good, and it affects my ability to just act. Okay, that's an example. Josh had one.
Yeah, so I'm in charge of this Young Professionals Network, and I have a lot of fun with it, and we have really big ambitions for this year. We were assembling a new board of 12 people, and it was a pain in the butt to get all the schedules worked out so we can all meet at the same time. And it, you know, I knew it wasn't going to happen, but we want, you know, everybody sent in their availability. So we get to the day of a meeting. I think I know who's going to be involved. Sarah had a really bad accident that very same day and had a concussion, so I was like, I'm not going to be upset about that.
That's
an excuse.
That's right.
That is no
right,
excuse.
Right.
I've never had one. It was really weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. Go
So I knew that there were going to be a couple people that just couldn't make it. So we get to the meeting. I was fine with that because I understand. But we get to the meeting, and right at the meeting, I find out someone. Not only did they not communicate it at all, they didn't. You know, we'd spent so much time getting this organized, and just had a project at work that they didn't. You know, they procrastinated on. They didn't finish, and so they were going to not come to this meeting. And they were kind of an important person to be there. So I went, you know, I went into a negative place for a little bit, and I was like, oh, there's no commitment, there's no, you know, blah, blah, blah. This was right before the meeting started, right? So as you can probably imagine, I wasn't on my game that well for the start of the meeting, and that was kind of that negative emotion experience, Luke, that I noticed that I was kind of flat emotionally. I was really wanting to inspire everyone about how exciting and amazing this year was. And here I was with this train of thought going, God, this person, I can't believe they did that, you know? And that's what happens, though. It's like these things compete for resources. They compete for what we really want to be doing. And it took me a little while during the meeting to make that shift. And I finally said, I'm going to have to pivot away from this because, you know, it just bothered me. And I realized, wait, there's all these other people here, you know, who are giving these great ideas, and I'm not present for their ideas. Or, you know, they're really showing up, and most everyone else who couldn't make it, you know, told me that they couldn't make it. And so I just had to do that. But when that mental switch happened during the meeting, it was like I was a different person, right? And the rest of the meeting went a lot better because I was no longer doing that little spinning hamster wheel in my head that we so often do. So does that kind of make sense, the pivoting?
I mean, you're just turning it around to glasses half full.
Yes.
Basically, it's just like it's finding, you know, either finding the blessing in something, or reframing something in the moment that you're starting to feel negative emotion. Just ask yourself, what's a better feeling thought that can I have about this situation? Or, you know, what's that turnaround question? If I were to look at this situation a week later, or a month later, or a year later, mm-hmm. and to ask myself, how could this be a blessing in disguise, basically? How could this thing, this mm-hmm. crisis, or this negative thing be a blessing in disguise? That thought kind of gets you thinking about all the different ways that it could be something that turns into something positive. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Well, recognizing it, I think, is probably some of the hardest. Mm-hmm. Is one of the hardest things to do.
Right.
Until you're like saying something or reacting, and you're like, "Why am I being this way?"
Right. Right.
And it could have been something that happened 3 hours ago that
right.
you're still there. I mean, I think
right.
that's a hard thing to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The awareness is so key, and that's why we wanted to give you this exercise because. Awareness is like 90% of the battle.
Right.
When you know that you're going down a negative train of thought, that's like the most important thing. then the tools that we're going to show you, it's like, oh, this is simple. I can get, you know.
Which one well can I use?
Right, mm-hmm. Which one?
Well, there's lots of tools.
But I was in a meeting this morning.
Okay.
And I'm just having a negative thought. And I'm thinking about this whole thing, you know, and I'm like, what can I tell myself right now to shift my mind?
Right.
So I'm really interested to know these things because I was like, what can I do? What can I do? Like, I got to get in a better frame of mind.
Yes.
Right,
you know?
Right. And some of it's prevention. You know, as I say, prevention is worth an ounce of cure. Some of it, the positive aspect of process we're going to show you today, to me, I really don't have those reactions very often anymore at all.
No, it's true. He doesn't.
I mean, because
he's
I've
like
programmed my brain
positive person.
To, I mean, and I wasn't always like that, you know, like, so there's certain things that that you can do to set the tone for the rest of your day so that those negative trains don't get started. But then there's also things that will show you that in the moment you're having it, you just, you know, figure out a quick workaround, so.
So I heard you say you were saying recalculating, and so it sounds to me like you were pivoting. You were like, and that term was really helpful for you. Just, you know, you can train your brain with one phrase, because then when you say that phrase, your brain goes, oh, okay, that. Like what you said, the phrase that you were using on your way there, what was
let go, let God.
Let go, let God is a very powerful statement because basically, when we get to that place, we know, well, I can't do it, you know. Let me just see, can I just let some of this go? So developing key phrases that are like this this code to your brain to go, oh, that's what I need to do, is pretty powerful. And you know, you'll develop them for yourself as we go through this whole training. Did anybody else have any experience of pivoting during the week? A time where you felt like, oh, I know that, oh, I don't like that. And then all of a sudden you realized it and you were able to go, what do I really want?
Yes.
We'll get to you all. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You first? Okay, well, it's funny because I heard something, didn't quite all sink in. 2 minutes later, three things happened that are crazy. All of a sudden it was like, oh my God. Okay, I see. It was a God thing. Like, I see what you're saying. Okay. I met my friend's funeral at Thomas Henson's memorial service.
Thomas.
One thing they said about Thomas was that he was an ornery guy, kind of, who always would just have battles with people, but yeah, almost in a sport kind of way. Because really who he was, he never held a grudge. He never had problems. For the most part, I don't either. But there are like three people to me who just, I can't be in the room with them because of past issues.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we get out of the service. It was very, you know, very emotional, very big, and that one thought's on my head. 2 minutes after I walk out into the hallway, I'm talking to a friend, and one of those people happens to walk by. It's my ex-wife. I'm like, and then 2 seconds later, a guy I used to work for, who I can't,
that's the second one,
walks up and starts talking. I walk down the stairs with Jeff Snowden. I walk downstairs, I see Doc Eldridge, he and I start talking, and the third one, who I've had some conflict with recently, walks right up and starts talking. We ride the elevator up. The three people, I mean, most of these people I never, ever, ever see. They all happen to see them within 2 minutes. And then it jumped back. They're saying, let those things go.
Thomas was laughing at you.
He had something to do with that. He had something to do with that. But that's... It all happened, and that's the moment I pivoted, and I was like, okay.
That's pretty cool.
I still don't want to be around my ex-wife, but I feel like I've let go of, I'm able to at least actively pursue that, letting go.
And later you'll understand that there's no accident why he saw those three people. There is no accident. There are no accidents. There's always some stuff going on a bigger level that we even can understand.
So we can say he called his ex-wife.
Huh?
You know, when whatever you have in your mind is really what you reflect out into the world.
Oh, yeah.
What you have in your mind is what you reflect out to the world. And it's so powerful that sometimes the people that are on your mind will show up. It's amazing. I've had
that was gratuitous right there.
What you have in your mind is you're projecting into the world. And, you know, so that's pretty cool. Alan, you want to share?
I was just going to say... incident I had. Remember, you asked us about frustration.
Yes.
One of the things Matt said was when he gets frustrated with things, he's heading toward another path, and these obstacles come up. You know, I'm trying to get something accomplished. It was after work. It was home related, and it was actually with a bush hog.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing got compounded. I think I got then something else, so you don't have the tool to do this,
yes,
and then you start getting, I go,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, let's recalculate, and I'm going to focus on something else.
Right.
Because this ain't going to get done today.
Right.
So, yes, okay.
I think that's part of the thing to say is, you know what, this ain't going to get done today. If
the
once
harder,
you do that, you're like,
the harder I work to make it, I will make this happen. But it was not supposed to happen, so.
Yeah.
And that's a very cool way you said that, because I'm learning to go when I get that much resistance to something. We're learning in our business to go, it's not time to go there. It's not
mm-hmm.
time to deal with this right now. There's obviously a lot of stuff that we're not ready for, or we haven't gotten our minds ready or something. It's just, let's just drop it. You hear? And
now, I can tell you, you know, I'll go to another level because, you know, this is who I am.
Yes.
It's my story.
Yes.
And it's just like when you say,
yes.
honey, and you just
yes.
have to accept it. This
yes.
is part of who I am.
Yes.
You have to accept this. I felt that the Lord was saying, you're getting the priorities off track here.
Right.
Because the next day, it just went fluid. And I got so much
yes.
done.
Mm-hmm.
It just went. So that's kind of like, okay, what is it I'm supposed to be doing, Lord? So,
no,
it's
absolutely.
Good.
It's like, when you relax, you can tap into maybe the right time to do something. When you force something, you kind of narrow your vision. Lots of stuff happens in your brain where you just think, I got to have this done right now. It's got to be done this way. This person's got to see my point. And you know, you just like set up. There's mirror neurons in our brain. Mirror neurons that reflect other people's emotions. And
I was going to say, I've always been the kind of person that people come to out things. Always. I don't care if it's work, personal. I mean, I get phone calls all the time. Can I talk to you for a second? Yeah, yeah. I mean, but I'm getting their baggage, you know? And I'm pretty good at transferring that negative or whatever and giving them some sort of positive to flip on. But sometimes it stays with me. So I have to flip a lot. And people at the office, they're like, this is what's happening, you know, and I don't have that. So I'm always like, hey, nobody rains on my happy parade, and I'm here working and being productive. But they get, you know, this, I'm like, what's going on at the office? I mean, you can just tell in people's
mm-hmm.
voices. And so having to work with the office all day long, you know when something's wrong, and sometimes it, you know, I have to pivot a lot throughout the day because I work
sometimes
with a lot of
people. Sometimes you just don't pick up the phone.
Sometimes you don't.
You'll learn when we get into managing energy. You'll learn a ways of how to handle that, because energy is a depletable resource.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to protect your energy.
Or just give them room.
Mike, did you have something?
I can't do that.
But does everybody the pivoting? And we'll be working with this stuff for the rest of the time.
I think we've been studying this stuff for a while. When I first heard that, I made it way too complicated in my head.
Yeah.
I was like pivoting this crazy process of like, you know, mental judo and all this stuff. And then I finally realized that, you know, it was right there on the page that it was talking about it. I finally realized, oh, it's just telling a different story. It's literally choosing different thoughts. It's literally saying, I don't like the way I'm feeling. Let me choose a different thought about this that in this moment feels a little bit better. I mean, you're not going to jump to unicorns and happy stuff, right? But you're going to jump to something that feels... that gets you a little bit back on track with your EPS. It, you know, feels a little bit more relief.
But I have a question. So when you have that initial negative feeling, is that now programmed? So every time, I mean, sometimes I feel that way, that
sure.
you have that trigger, you have a negative thought, you pivot out of it, you're going positive for that moment in time.
And
that
happens again.
But when it happens 2 days later, you're right back where you started.
So
it's stuck in there. Like, can you
yeah.
get rid of it?
For those
yeah,
really tricky ones,
can.
Yeah, you can. For the tricky ones, there's other processes that we're going
to
share.
Okay.
That's where we go
to
more deeper stuff.
Yeah, for EFT and that kind
okay.
of stuff. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
Any questions? You got it?
I'm getting there, yeah.
You're getting there,
yeah.
I'm
trying to pick it back up.
And you guys have the recording, too. I just want to remind you, if you ever are confused about it
and
want to listen
helpful.
Back on it, we'll put it back. Everything on that page, that central page that you can download it at. So.
And remember that we're an email away, a phone call away.
Sure.
Because we really want you all to be successful and to grasp these concepts. Recognizing that
just kind of be easy with yourself. Bumble your way through this. That's one thing this guy said when I was away. I'm such a perfectionist. I feel like I have to get everything right away. And he kept saying, bumble your way through it. So perfectionists don't start until they have everything lined up in their head. And it's like, and if they make a mistake, oh man, I made a mistake. But it was so helpful to hear, bumble my way through it. And that's become one of my little mantras. I'm not really sure what to do here, but I'm just going to bumble my way through it. So bumble your way through it.
Queen bee, it works well.
There you go.
The queen bee bumbling.
I have a problem. I have a problem dealing with people who, this is the Kimberly thing with me, I have a problem dealing with people who are that way. Like me, I'm like, bumble my way through it. Just get something done. Get
right,
it
right.
The people who are such perfectionists and nitpick.
Paralysis by analysis.
Yes.
Yeah, I have to do some EFT to work on my emotional response, not to kill
them.
Those people.
Yes. Yeah.
And they probably have more activity in the left frontal cortex. That's the part that kind of takes us out of the moment and makes us analyze. And
so if I whack them on the side of the head, maybe it'll bump it to the right.
Guaranteed to work.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about your body because we've been talking about your mind. So I'm going to teach you some things because one way that you can get yourself back into that feeling of positivity and good focus is using your body. Okay? So I'm going to teach you something that's called PACE, and we're going to send you a PDF of this. Okay? These guys know it. I don't think we shared that with your group. It's called PACE. Well, sorry, Nettie doll.
Did you kick her?
No, I love her. I'm not going to kick her. And the very first thing is that you need water, because your brain is 75% water. And if you're feeling a little bit lethargic and low right now, it might be that you just need some water. I'm just going to remind you, there's some little happy birthday cups in there, and inside their fridge, open it up, and there's some of that water.
Does anybody
want
water
first day.
For them? Does anybody want
Does anybody need some water right
yeah,
now?
Scott,
okay. Anybody else?
If you want a bottle, if you look in the cabinet to the left on the bottom, there's a bunch of bottles of water. Grab
okay.
One.
Oh, okay. Nice.
There's a lot of water outside right now.
Oh, yeah. We just go outside and open your mouth.
There's a big puddle right there.
So, we might share also the PDF on all the things about water, why your brain needs it, and really some cool, cool facts about water.
Please do. I remember last time I found that fascinating.
It's amazing. Most of us are walking around dehydrated, and we just don't know. And even if you drink flavored water and you think, oh, it's okay, it's not the biggest boost for your brain right then, because your brain codes the flavor as food and it goes down through your digestion. Mm-hmm. And isn't the oxygen molecules aren't released just quickly to your brain. So, I just have my bottle of water with me all the time because I need to stay focused. Focus is not one of my biggest things, right? I'm right brain. I'm like, woo, that's fun. Okay, so the first thing of PACE, and this just starts from the bottom. It's energetic. We'll give you a whole PDF on this, and the whole PDF on water is water. The very first part, and then the next part is, I'll just write water here. And just be so some of you want to take these notes. This is for to be energetic, you need water, okay? And then the C stands for clear. And the next thing I'm going to teach her is what we call brain buttons. You put your hand on your collarbone right here, right? Mine's a little bit covered up. Okay. Some people's are a lot show up a lot more, right? So go to the inside, right where your throat is, right there. And then put your hand under some material and then drop slightly below that. You'll feel a little indentation right there when you're on that. You feel that? Use one hand to do that, just your thumb and your first finger. Now put your other hand on your belly. And just take a deep breath. Now I've done this training for years in schools and with parents. So the first thing I did when I put my hand on my belly was take a deep breath. Most of us don't breathe enough that oxygenates our brain. We're breathing from here. We're breathing up here. And if you do some deep abdominal breathing, immediately your stress reaction gets triggered to go down. Just breathing alone. Like, coming here, it was raining, and I was running a little bit later than I want, and I was getting a little, like, I hate getting places late. So all I just did was, well, you know, I just took a deep breath, and I immediately started feeling myself starting to, like, calm down, it's going to be okay, these are awesome people, and thinking about all the wonderful things, okay? There's a lot more that I could explain about this, but for now I'm not going to. So these are just simple little buttons. When you find yourself forgetting a word or something, and they're neurovascular points. If you forget something and you're like, oh, what was that? What was that? Just, you know, switch into your brain buttons. Sometimes I do these while I'm driving, just driving. I'm not using both hands, obviously, or I'd be driving with my knees. So that's the... That's the next one is active. This A stands for active. And so we're going to stand up because you've been sitting for a long time. And so after we do this, we're going to start using this during the training so that anytime you're sitting more than 20 minutes, the muscles in the back of your body tighten up and your focus kind of goes out the window.
20 minutes?
20 minutes. Wow. 20 minutes. So these are called cross crawls, so you're just going to raise your knee and go touch the opposite knee. There you go. And you could do it in the back of your body, it doesn't matter, but what you're doing is crossing the midline of your body. So what? Just listen to me. So your neural impulses are crossing that corpus callosum, that little band of tissue. Because you know this side of my body is, this side of my body is controlled by this hemisphere, right? The opposite hemisphere controls this. So when you do any contralateral, we call it contralateral move, it helps, like when you run, Scott's gun loves to run, and knees are holding up okay.
Yeah.
So that's a...
I got a good one.
Yes. That's a supremely good way to integrate your brain. Even walking, if you don't run, but you're walking and you're crossing this midline of the body, helps you get back into focus, okay? And here's a trick. Your brain, you can imagine yourself doing this in the middle of a stressful meeting. Your brain will respond and fire in the same way as if you're standing and doing it. We have research from sports teams where they just sit in a room, they hook them up to all the monitors, and they actually pretend to play basketball, and they're doing it. When they get back on the court, they're as good as the team that we're practicing. You could tell your brain anything, and it will respond. I've been in situations where I can't go, excuse me, I got to do me a little bit of stuff here, you know, and I just like sit and smile and imagine myself doing one of these moves, and it just gets me back out of that stress place. So that's the cross crawls. And the last is for positive. Now, these are called pretzels. We called them hookups in schools until we realized that fifth grade kids were already already knew what hookups were. I was like amazed. When I first started teaching this stuff, I was like, I'd use hookups, and they go, oh, okay, hookups. And then later, it was like, 10 years later, it was like, oh my gosh. Okay, they're pretzels now.
Pretzels.
So you can do this seated or standing. So you cross your feet at the ankles. Put your hands out in front. Then bring your hands in like that. And then press them. Now put your tongue on the roof of your mouth. Now you can see how you can just be at your desk and all of a sudden you feel like you're just losing focus. You could just do this and it will help you. And just take some breaths. Now, then you change your feet. You can do it the other way. Switch and do the other side. You don't have to, but it's another way. Take a deep breath. Breathing is very important to handle stress, okay? And then as you come out of it, just uncross and just keep your fingertips together. Imagine that's your right hemisphere, left hemisphere. you're not breaking that connection just immediately. You're like, phew, I'm still connected. Okay? So, now stand there a minute and think about your stress that you gave about your week. Do you find just having done that, do you feel a little bit calmer? Do you feel a little bit more here? Do you feel more present? Do you feel more able to just kind of... Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very powerful move. There's lots of research that this has been done with lots of different people, so it's supremely helpful to me. Every time I teach, I used to teach statistics. You know, I'm right-brained. I would go in the bathroom stall. I would drive. I would teach in Gwinnett sometimes. Well, a lot of years I would drive there. First thing I'd do was go in the stall, and I would do pace. Because it would be like, the memory of the formulas is all in my left hemisphere. How to organize it, how to sequence it. All the stories about it is where I live all the time. Woo, and you can do this, and it's fun, and la, 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 la. Which is one reason why students love my class, and they would sign up for me, because if they were like me, they got what I taught. But if I went in without clicking on my left hemisphere, I would just be telling one story after another, and then like, I go, well, what was that formula, and la, 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 la. You need both hemispheres. And what this does is bring your creative side, your intuitive side, the place where you have the great ideas, together with a side that helps you implement it, that helps you organize it, that helps you analyze it, that helps you get the details. Okay, got it? So that's pace. We'll send you a PDF, we'll send you that on
Namaste.
Water, Namaste. All right, so we've done the body, because there's a lots of ways to access your feelings and access getting into that flow state. You can use your body, you can use your mind. Now let's talk a little bit about deliberate positivity. You want to go through that?
Yeah, so basically, it's really simple. They've done research on people that they prime them with something positive before they go and try to solve a complex task or something like that. And the people who are primed for the positive thing, which means they ask them to think about a really awesome experience they had when they were younger, maybe, or they ask them to think about something they're excited about in the future, and then they go and they do these puzzles or these complex challenges. And the people who are primed for positivity are much, much more effective at solving these problems across the board. And so not only does it get... Because what it does is it kind of does what's called the undoing effect, which I think you guys read about, that when you're deliberately positive, even a quick short burst, like watching a funny video on YouTube, or that's why people tend to distract themselves all the time on the internet, is because a lot of times they're dealing with a lot of stress, and they intuitively want to find something that helps relieve that stress, right? So, but the problem with that is that distraction comes into play with that too, for sure, but... So the undoing effect in the brain basically is that all those neurochemicals and the stress hormones that are released, a quick, short burst of positivity can literally undo that and reactivate the frontal lobes of your brain, the parts of your brain that help you move through your day and help you be more creative.
This part up here.
We just want you to be aware of that. That sometimes it's the really small doses of positivity throughout the day, and sometimes when we talk about rituals, we'll talk about how you can create that and deliberately create rituals that fuel these positive emotions too. Cool. You want to talk about the PQ score?
Yeah. Just a moment. You know, let me back up a minute. When you're under stress, your brain releases cortisol, adrenaline, and a bunch of other bad crap. Cortisol is like... It will go through and wash out some connections that you have in your brain. So if you have something new that you're just learning and it's a very tenuous connection, imagine you've got a neuron here and a neuron here, and you've got it's a very small space in between each neuron called a synapse, where the electrical information, that's why you need water, just flings itself from this edge of this neuron over here. If you have a very tenuous little connection there, cortisol will come in and just wipe that out. Every now and then, your brain goes through and gets rid of connections. And the more...
It's like pruning a tree.
It's like pruning a tree. You got a tree in your backyard that's growing too much? It will go through and get rid of some. Now, some it's kind of cool to get rid of. You know, I can't stand my ex-wife or something. You know, those are kind of cool. But, you know, but what happens is a lot of us, if we have a high stress level, it's keeping us from being able to set down new, more positive connections. And sometimes it's even washing out stuff that we really need to hang on to. And it's very powerful. This whole thing, adrenaline and cortisol, is not good for us. Now, it's good in the short term. You're crossing the street and all of a sudden you're walking and you see somebody bearing down on you and you take off and you run across. That's great. Or you're out at night and you're like in a seedy part of town and all of a sudden your antenna goes up and you go, ooh, I don't feel very safe here. And all of a sudden you kick into gear and you focus and you get yourself safe. But most of the time we don't need that stuff in daily life. Most of the time we don't need that kind of stuff. We don't want to have it triggered all the time because it's really, really not that beneficial for us. Okay.
Good. PQ score.
Okay. Your PQ score. Okay, let me give you a little background on this, guys. I've told you a little bit about my father, right? Mm-hmm. My father was a very critical person, and he had a very hard time seeing anything positive. So my journey has been to create a new kind of track in my mind about that. So when I first took this PQ score, I was ashamed at how low it was. It was so low. But it was like a number that showed me how much struggle I've had learning how to be positive. So now it's higher because I've been focusing and doing the things that we're teaching you. So wherever it is, it's okay. Some of your scores, you may be, we're going to get a chance to share here. You don't have to reveal your number. You could just say, well, I was surprised or whatever. But so let me ask you, when you took your PQ score, what reaction were you like? Oh my gosh, that's pretty good, or whoa, or whatever. Anybody?
Well, the first time I took mine, I was like, what? It was ridiculously low.
Oh, you shared it. It wasn't actually that low. Well, it's not that bad.
Because it was 60. Yes. Like, no,
it's not that low, really.
Well, then I went back and realized I was like, because
I wish I was 60.
Well, because I realized I didn't read the header,
right?
Where it said just in the past 24 hours,
I've been feeling. Hours.
Like I was looking at those. Every now and then I'm feeling like that. Every now and then I'm feeling like that, yes. Which meant that thought that in a day I felt like that. So. I probably had an overly positive past 3 days. I've just been feeling about as on fire as I ever have. Mm. So I went back and took it just thinking about yesterday and today and trying to be brutally honest and not overdo it with positivity, but I took it again and it was shot to 92.
Right, yeah.
So I don't think that's normally where I would be.
Right. Yes.
But it's definitely not normally a 60 either.
Yeah.
Right. That's very high. But
and it's state dependent too. So
it is state dependent.
You take it; it can depend on something just happened, or if you know, it can totally depend on that. So it's not 100% accurate, like Matt was saying, like of the average. Now, if you take it over the span, you know, a few times, the span over a few weeks, it probably will give you a good indicator.
A better indicator, like so. Anybody else? You don't have to share, but just
I was an 80, and I was kind of, I wasn't sure if that was, you know, where the.
That's good. That's
I mean, you told me that was good, but I mean, I kind of think the 80-20 rule for me applies. I'm generally very positive. I mean, I'm just a very optimistic person. So whether something happens, I'm kind of like, okay, let's think about this. You know, that's just how I am. So that's natural. So I didn't think that was unusual for me.
Yeah.
Anybody else? You don't have to share a number if you don't want to.
I got tickled at mine because it was an 80, but the little piece of paper that comes out says, well, this might, may not be, and it starts telling you, undercutting you, you know, and you say, oh, well, maybe I did something wrong on the test. And I started in with the little negatives. The sabotagers started taking over about how I had done the test wrong. Because all he did was say, well, you know, maybe you would like to retake this on another day because this is awfully positive. And I thought, I screwed up. You know, instead of looking at it like
yeah,
that, it's positive.
That.
I started with the screwed up.
It does say that.
Yeah, it does. And it tells you again
well,
and again that you know, you really want to rethink
that.
Your positivity or something.
You're not really that positive.
Oh, man.
It is pretty uncommon.
Now we'll see how you score.
Yeah,
I'd say most people don't score above a 70 on this.
Well, I work hard on being
that's
positive.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, absolutely. That's good.
But,
right.
Go ahead. I'm a really positive person in general.
Yeah.
And so when I took a test, I just had a bad day.
Right, right.
And my score came out 53.
Yeah.
And I was actually very happy that it was that high.
Considering the day.
Because I was answering the questions. I'm like, this thing's going to tell me I'm not positive at all. So it kind of made me feel better that, you
yeah.
know, even in negative times, I am using,
yes, sure.
you know, positive.
Sure,
mm-hmm.
sure.
Yeah. So.
Absolutely. That's good.
Anybody else want to share?
It was 79.
Good.
Okay.
See, I didn't realize it was going to change. I had to retake it because I got a 20 that first time I
right.
took it.
Right. That's
I
Scott.
I didn't take it again.
Scott, remember I told you mine was 35.
Yeah.
And my whole family took it, and mine was the lowest. And, you know, his was very high. And I was
no, it was not. It was like 65, yeah.
And I was
I'm
like,
oh, that was,
you had a really great mom and dad.
There you go. See,
the test did not
so,
say
but
that.
Mine has gone up a lot. So, Scott, be fun.
Mine
just
would have been, mine would, well, I didn't realize it was going to, it could change so much. And I don't think I read it. I must not have read it right the first time about it being like 24 hours. Of course, the last time I took it, I was in a pretty freaked out mindset.
Yes.
So,
yes.
It's pretty clear.
Take it again and just see
yeah.
how it
This
yeah.
week probably would have done great last week. This week is a tough week because I've got a mailer due in like 9 days. So, I'm my mind is half here and half. As I'm doing those exercises, things are popping into my mind of other people I need to get closed. And,
right.
Which is fine because it's opening up my mind for
yes.
those things like
yes.
it's supposed to, but I'm thinking, oh, maybe I should set a higher number than a stress level.
Right.
Yeah.
But
anybody else want to share anything about it? Okay.
Cool. So it's just
it seems like to me, this is just an observation, it seems like to me that the more entrenched mentally are on what's going on, like the lower those scores are going to go, but the more, the reason mine was so high is because I've been almost in a delusional state the past three or four days, I've been doing a lot of writing of the vision, and so I've been literally delusional. I don't think it's been reality.
Right.
And so if you take it again on Thursday when I've got, you know, all these deadlines amiss or you know, all these things that I've got going too much to do and I'm thinking about that, they really will drop. So maybe it's, you know, if you want a high score, think delusionally.
Yeah.
I've been dreaming a lot more too. I don't know if that makes any difference, but I'm a very lucid. Yeah, I'm
yeah.
a very lucid dreamer, so I can remember all my dreams. But I don't know. I always pay attention to if I'm dreaming or not, and I have been more frequently. I don't know.
Well, the cool thing is just like a set point. It's like a baseline. Just it's a nice number to look at and see. You know, you can take it later on in the training. Yes.
It seems to me it just this whole thing reinforces your stress producing negative or consuming the parts of your brain because it seems like the more stress, the less positive you are.
Yes.
So it's actually lobbing from those.
Yes.
Exactly. It's like a continuum, right?
Yeah.
It's like if you're farther on here, you're not positive. Like,
right.
And if you're worried about this one thing, it keeps you from thinking positively about these other things usually too because your brain has limited resources. You can only focus on so much at one time. Does that kind of make sense? That's a good observation, yeah.
Is this one of those things where if you want a higher score, just make yourself get a higher score, and then that will in turn, like, think more positively, force yourself to think more positively,
yeah.
so
yes.
you can get a higher score.
Yeah.
That in turn will actually help you get those things done you need to get done because you're not handicapped by stress.
Right.
Can, absolutely.
Yes.
This is a perfect, actually, segue into the lesson, what we're going to ask you guys to do for today. This is the, we need to,
what time is it?
About a quarter, about 13 minutes, we're fine.
Okay, good.
So, this is called the positive aspects process, and this, I think, is, in my mind, the single most powerful process for sort of resetting that positivity thermostat. And it's simple, it's quick, but it's very, very, very powerful. Basically, I've got some examples of this.
And I have some for me.
We're going to pass these around so you guys can read them. All you're doing basically is thinking of finding positive thoughts. Finding positive thoughts about things that are going well. They're tiny things usually. They're like really small things. The smaller, the better for this process because we often think that we have to like focus on these huge goals and our huge steps and like
that's what progress is about. But no, it's really about the small things. Pass them down. One of each, just so you guys can see our different styles and our different. So. So I want to kind of like read through a few of these just to give you an idea about what this process is about. Some of it is so stupid and so small that it seems insignificant, but it's real. The purpose of this process. Remember how we talked about how your brain has a negativity bias built into it? We didn't talk about that, but it was in the reading. That you tend to remember and to stew on things that are negative more than things that are positive, and that's just the wiring of your brain. So we were wanting to reset that, and this is what this process does. Finding tiny little things that help you just be more positive. I won't read all of them, but I you guys can check it out later. But like, look at the on my list. Look at the second to the bottom one. These socks are really awesome. They're really comfortable, and they also go well with a lot of my clothes. Like these socks, right? It's just like, so it seems so insignificant, but I was wearing them, and I noticed it when I was doing this process. I was like, I really like these socks, you know? And it's one of those really tiny things. Or the next one, I've got this chair in my house that, you know, fits me perfectly, and it's really comfortable, and it's a great recliner. And I just wrote that was one of my positive aspects for the day, that I really like having this chair that fits me so perfectly, and kind of really embellished it, right?
Did Peter Dale cook for you?
No, my brother works at
the National,
and so I went to one of their parties. And that's what a few of these, I met him there, and that's what some of these...
If he cooked for you, that would have been your positive.
Yeah, right?
The next is, how do we get an invite?
So if you look at mine was taken, a lot of these were from one day where it was sunny and I was outside. I'm trying to get outside more because I recognize if I'm inside all the time, my energy just flags.
Oh, yeah.
I just have to be outside more. So, you know, I just... You know, was noticing things, a blue jay coming and eating a nut and fussing at me, and the new green grass coming up, and the wispy blue clouds. And I love to paint, but I want to give myself more time to do that. So then I went off on painting and the rich acrylic colors, the fabulous blue color I discovered, finding the art teacher. And then I went off sitting with my dog Ellie outside. And it was just, these are small things, guys, but it helps tune my set point up. It helps me tune so that when I do this, my day, I'm starting to notice more things that are positive instead of the way my brain, all of our brains have been programmed for survival and to see what's wrong so that we can escape. It's just a programming thing. And then if you grow up in a family where that's reinforced, you tend to see the negative all the time. So resetting my set point is just a simple thing like this. It could be 10 minutes.
It is too much.
It's 10 minutes.
And it sets the tone for the rest of your day. I mean, I want to tell a quick story about this one of these on there. I'm glad to have a nice toaster that will get the job done.
That was my favorite.
So there's a backstory to this. So, you know, we moved to this new place on the east side, and our toaster that we're using just is awful. You know, it's like it burns the bread on the bottom, you know, like it's uneven, and it's not a big deal. You know, it's not like a life-changing thing, but I hadn't done anything to like to buy a new toaster or anything. So they have a friend who comes into town and is moving, and they're staying at their place for a while. They leave their toaster with them, this big, nice, you know, Mondo toaster, and so they have an extra toaster at their house. So she gives it to me, you know, like, here, use this toaster. I heard that yours is awful, you know? And I remember, I was like, oh, cool, I'm going to put this on my list, you know, because it seems really small, like, oh, a new toaster. And I called my friend at the time, and I told him, you know, we were just talking, and I said, oh, I got a new toaster. This is going on the list. And he's like, well, I don't consider that something really awesome, you know, like, or, you know, and I was like, you don't get it, you know, like, that's not the point. It's not, like, the big stuff. It's, like, noticing how things are working out for you constantly, you know, and you just don't even realize it. Like, that's, all the time this is happening for us. Good things and traffic, the flow of traffic, you know, like, somebody's with smiles at you and is nice to you, but our brain is so programmed to natter on the problems and the things that we have to do that sometimes we lose sight of all the really cool stuff that's happening. And we don't allow it to fuel ourselves into greater and greater success. So that's what this process is about, is just focusing on really tiny little details, small things, and big things if they happen. And cool.
So if there's a person that you're having a hard time with...
Don't write about it.
Don't write about it.
Yeah.
On this. Later on, we'll talk about how to shift that.
Yeah.
Don't go with the bad stuff, the big stuff, like I really have got to like this person.
Or the things you feel like you should feel positive about. No, it's the easy stuff.
Alan.
It's funny, this I don't do Facebook. I mean,
yeah.
I'm under, if you ever watched the movie Fletch, I'm Irwin M. Fletcher on Facebook. only my family can see. But this is what I did Saturday morning. You almost have to kind of know my story to realize all of this. But my description of a wonderful day: wake up in my own awesome bed with my wife on a bright, sunny Saturday morning, where my mother-in-law makes French toast from eggs from my backyard for me and my youngest son. Going to see my daughter lead her team in a home soccer game. Come back to my own house and mow my grass. Work around the house until I go watch my brother and sister. My other daughter compete three events for the University of Georgia in the NCAA Gymnastics Regional Finals. That is a wonderful day.
Yes.
Right.
And that was a great day.
That's awesome. It.
Well said.
And you can break even those individual things even to more and more aspects, right?
Okay.
You could just keep going on that.
You know,
so.
Sometimes it's like I just love this coffee. We get this coffee from Trader Joe's. It's this particular brand that I particularly like. It's organic. It's, you know, it's cool. And I just go, I just love my coffee. You know, I'll start off with something silly like that. Or I love whatever. And you'll notice that, you know, the last one on my list is very important to me because I love getting to that still place inside of me. And I like meditating and bringing myself, because I need that more, I think, maybe than I don't know. I just, my brain's always so active. So I love the feeling of getting to that place of quietness and stillness, and where I just connect. And then it's like, when I get there, it's like, my stress has just gone down. So.
Cool. Any questions about this? This is pretty clear. We have 5 minutes left, so here's what we want to do. We want you to put this into practice now. And just take the next 5 minutes.
On your sheet.
On your sheets. There
you have
is, there's just a little line.
Beyond
so
your notes.
You're going to do this once a day. Just once a day. And it doesn't
so
have to
what,
take...
If you think about that, we put you in a hot line, great feeling place.
Yep.
Yeah, go to page 60. You're going to do your saboteurs, and you're going to identify those for next time,
right,
if you have not already done it.
Yeah, but for now.
Go to page 60. Write some things right now.
This
for
will
day
be
one.
This will be day one. Just take the next 5 minutes to do that, and you know, just report back after. guys can just wrap up whenever we're about out of time. So hopefully this gave you an idea. It doesn't take you long at all. It's going to be a very quick process. You can do this at any time of the day. I highly recommend that you do it in the morning before you jump into work, because usually that's when you're the most positive. Before you check your email, before you do anything like that. I mean, we're going to talk about that in the next week about flow and how email does not help you get into flow. But anyways, do it when you're at your most positive, most clear-minded, and that will give you enormous sort of momentum for the rest of the day. The cool thing is
you'll just start noticing positive things more. You'll just start noticing more. As you practice this, it's almost like your mind, you'll go, wow, I really like that, really.
So I can add this to the website if you guys want to type it in. I actually kind of recommend that you write it. I think for this process in particular, it's more powerful to handwrite it. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have to necessarily do it in your book if you don't want to carry that everywhere. But make it easy on yourself. If you're going to do this in your office in the morning, get a pad of paper and put it right next to your desk and give yourself a mental trigger. As soon as I sit down to get started work, I'm going to do this first, right? Just go for as long as you can. Go for as long as you can until you kind of run out of momentum. And you'll find, though, that you can, you know, the more you practice this, the more you'll be able to think of positive things to think about.
And so if you're not used to this, the first time you may do it was we worked with someone and they said, well, how many times can I say I like my dog? Because I like my dog. And there was maybe one other thing. There's somebody that really needed it. And I go, you know, just play with it. Bumble your way through it. Notice that your items will go up as you go. And also notice that if you're on a day that you're stressed, it will be harder for you to access that because your mind is over here somewhere else. So it's fine.
Cool.
Just take your time and you'll notice that as you go through and you practice this more and more, it gets easier for you.
This is like the prevention thing that I was mentioning about, kind of the setting the tone for your day. I'd recommend you guys get with your accountability partners too for this, just to make sure that you guys are doing it. So I think you guys are together now, right?
Yes.
So who has an accountability partner that's not here?
I'm most of the time not here, but
Kim and Chris together as accountability?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Were they?
No. Were they not? Uh-uh. Oh, because you
had Chris.
I had Chris.
Oh, that's right.
Who had Kim?
Dusty,
I think.
Yeah. Dusty was Dusty, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so
Dusty was with Kim. Good remember.
Well, we'll have them listen to the recording.
So everybody has it now. Use your accountability partners, guys. Give a trigger.
I
will. Like, done
it
yet?
We got it.
All right. This would be easier than last week. This is more fun to me. I don't like
yes.
The notes
yes.
and stuff.
Yeah.
The notes
yes.
and stuff.
Or like
because all I noticed was I didn't go to the
chiropractor. Yeah, I don't like feelings.
Well, this is not coming from my stress. It's
I really, really appreciate your attention and your dedication, and it's just so fun to come and share this and co-create this experience. It's really awesome. You guys are amazing.
So are you.
You are
so
feeling
y'all.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Y'all on my list.
And if you haven't set that survey out, the only thing we'll do it for this week. But we do want to meet. We got this comment that somebody said, well, when I just share with another person, I don't get to hear other people sharing. So we want to balance that because some people will more likely share with one-on-one than in the big group. So we also want to balance that. So give us the feedback. We might throw that question in again. You know, the formatting is what we're looking for. We want you to be able to really share and talk, but we also don't want to... I need to just shut up because I don't know how I'm going to finish that. Zoop! You got it!
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you. Does anybody know what the purple cluster flowers on the trees that are out right now are called?
Purple?
Wisteria. Is that what it is?
Wisteria.
We were like racking our brains. I'm like, well, this is so cool. Is it
vine?
It's a vine. Okay, I'm like,
Wisteria Lane.
It's so pretty.
It's
okay.
Fun gorgeous. To work with, too.
Yeah,
I'll bet.
That was my guess.
I was right.
I know. I'm so excited I get to say it.
Is the big man yet?
And, you know, there's also some redbud trees.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got redbuds in Oklahoma.
Yes.
And I'm sure we have a story that does not grow like this. And I've never been here for this spring.
You just carry it. It'll turn green here.
Yeah.
Right now, it's just beautiful.
I wish it stood out year-round.
I know, right?
Well, then you.
Thank you, sir. Oh, thank you. I think we need to stop the recording. What the heck?
You know what this.